Yes, he loves me. He loves the children. Jesus loves us. He loves the little children so much. So I want to talk to you today about babies. Babies, the little ones. Welcome to Because It's Important, to the children's series. And I hope it's a blessing. So I want to talk to you about babies. Well, all kids, really. Excuse me, but we're going to start with the little guys. So I want to talk to you about brain waves, and I haven't done extensive research on this, so you maybe could prove me wrong, but from the little bit of research I have done, basically there are four brain waves that we occupy at one point or another. Delta is the slowest brain wave, and then there's theta, alpha, and beta, and most of us as adults function in the beta brainwave capacity, where we can take in anywhere from 12 to 25 impulses per second and be able to process them. But going back down to the delta, which is the slowest, a person in delta brainwave can only receive at the most maybe 3 impulses per second before they basically get overloaded. Well, that's your 1 to 3-year-olds. Yeah. So if the radio is going and somebody comes to the door and you drop a dish in the sink or make some kind of noise and then the child spills something and you go, hey, pick that up, or what, look out, or you make some kind of another noise right within that second, that might be just one too many impulses and the child starts crying. And now you don't know what to do because he's screaming. So it could be that he's just overstimulated. So those brainwave levels are really important to keep in mind when we're interacting with our babies. Theta comes in at about the age of 4. And really, it lasts until about the age of between 12 and 14. So it isn't until a teenager is approaching 14 and 15 that they move into alpha and can take as many as 8 to 12 impulses per second. And then eventually they can be as smart as us, or as able as we are to receive all those impulses. So I want to encourage you parents, especially you moms, because you're the ones usually that are with the kids most of the time. I know you got a lot of other stuff you have to do. You know, you got to run the house and all that. I understand that you can be, you know, pretty preoccupied with your life because there's a lot on you. But I ask you to just take an extra minute during the day, fewer, 2 or 3 times a day, and stop and watch your baby. Watch how they signal in that beautiful delta state, which, by the way, if we are in that state, we'd be in deep REM sleep. So that gives you an idea of how slowly they perceive and receive and carry on. So watch what they do. Oftentimes, as a child, you know, they come into the world knowing nothing, right? So there's all this stuff going on that they want to learn. But they're only capable of learning certain things. And I'm going to digress here a minute to explain something to you. And you may already know this. It has to do with when the teeth erupt. When the teeth come through, it signals that there are more brain cells to fill. So when a child gets a mouthful of teeth at 2, he's got all these brain cells that need to be filled. Oh, what are these holes in the wall? Oh, they call that a plug. Let me stick something sharp in there, you know, or whatever they've got. And we call it the terrible 2s, but it really isn't. If we will give them stimulation for those new brain cells, those won't be terrible years. They'll be marvelous years. So what I'm saying about watching those signals, I had a little grandson one time that was just beginning to get to the point where he could walk. He was pulling himself up on furniture. And I watched probably for half an hour one day, maybe it was just 15 minutes, it was a good while, that he would stand at this low-lying thing. He'd pull himself up and he would drop a toy and bend over and pick it up. and drop it and bend. And he would do this over and over and over. And as I watched, I realized what he was doing was squats. He was developing his own leg muscles by bending over and picking up that toy and then doing it again. It was really an interesting thing to see. Then I've also seen children who can reach up and they want to reach as high as they can to put their little car up on the counter. And what they're learning about there is gravity. Huh. So if you watch your child and their signals, you'll see what it is they're most interested in. I have a perfect story for you. I had a girlfriend once whose little boy, he was taking a nap. He was already walking a bit. Anyway, she went in to wake him from the nap, and he had found some kind of a sharp instrument and literally dug a hole in the sheetrock by his bed. Oh, she was ballistic. You can't do that. You know, this is a rental. Oh, my word, we've now got this hole. And I said, hang on a second. Can you imagine what was going on in his mind? He touches a hard wall, and then with just a tiny little motion, he can turn it into dust. That had to have been one of the most revelatory moments in that little child's development. So holes can be repaired. Let the kid learn, wow, this wall is actually made of something that can disintegrate. How interesting. So watch the signals. And when they're little itty bitties, be sure you take time in watching their signals to teach them hand and finger motions. For example, when you hand them a toy, put your hand around their hand and show them how to grip that toy. And slowly, and look at them and say, yeah, it's good, nice. And teach them how to use their little hands and develop that hand-eye coordination, those skills. Talk very, very slowly and introduce new things. And then always pause to let their brains catch up. Often, too, a long, quiet pause will initiate a show of interest, signaling that it's time for a new skill or a new word or a new lesson of some kind. One of the things I recommend as well is to label your house. You can get 3x5, this can start as little kids. You get 3x5 cards, cut them in, you know, fourths or whatever, however big you need, and very carefully print on that card refrigerator, light switch, wall, window, lamp, desk, table, chair, whatever you can think of that you could put a name to. And then they have this product called Plasti-Tac. You might find it on Amazon or something. And get the white kind because the blue will leave marks. But the white kind of Plasti-Tac, you sort of work it with your hands a little bit and it becomes sticky. And you can stick that label on the refrigerator, on the wall. And then as you're carrying your baby around the house, you go, oh, there's a wall. W-A-L-L. Wall. And let him look at your mouth. And then if he tries to copy what you're saying, put your hand on the wall and say, wall, and teach him to speak. Teach him or her to form words by you putting your mouth very slowly into the shape, refrigerator. Teach him to syllabicate. You think, the kid is 2 or 1. He's not going to know that. Yeah, when you say, get us in the refrigerator to your older sibling, he's going to know exactly what that word is. And he'll be reading by the time he's 3 or 4. So label your house and always explain things to your kids. Speak very distinctly and use normal words and a normal tone. If every time you talk to your baby, you're going, and you're I'm sorry if that sounded silly. But you're making silly sounds. I mean, a certain amount of kind of normal. But when it comes to the everyday learning experience that your child is going through, take time to say, this is a book. Book. And see if you can go, can you go, k? That's a K. Take time to explain each, you know, hold up a K. And go, k, k, k. Little things like that will help them to feel a part of this new environment that they've come into. Okay, so when a child does something that you don't like, which, you know, that's kids are born to do that, it seems. Instead of scolding, because they don't understand that, they don't understand other than they've now got your attention, and whatever that meant, they're going to do it again. Instead, lower your voice nice and quiet and say, honey, this is how we do that. We don't do this. We don't hit in this house. We don't snarl and growl like dogs. We are kind to one another, honey. This is how we do it in our family. And if you talk like that to them, they're going to get it, you know? Train early for self-control. If your child is prone to just throw himself on the floor and pitch one, don't respond to it. Don't react to it. Get busy and go somewhere else. Ignoring that negative behavior is the surest way to have it quit, because they're not getting any help for it, are they? So don't respond to the wrong behavior. I mean, unless they're about to run out into the street or, you know, throw something or whatever, you may have to say, no, we don't do that here. And, you know, gradually you're training them as though you train an animal, only they're your babies. They're the gift that God has given to you. So anyway, my time's about up, but I want to encourage you. Last time we spoke about having compassion on the children and in this wicked world, I think that's hugely important. And in this one, I think it's important for us to remember these little ones, and especially the boys, have to finish what they're doing before they can start something else. Okay, they have to finish one thing before they can start another. And we need to slow down and understand that they are in a beta. And only until they're teenagers. So anyway, I hope this has been a blessing to you. Hope it hasn't been too confusing. And that you love your babies. Because you know what? The days may seem long, but the years are really, really short. And I share this with you because it's important. See you next time.